Welcome back to the Roundtable. Christy Coulter inspired and incensed the internet when she wrote about what happened when she stopped drinking. Nothing Good Can Come From This is her debut essay collection by an observer no longer numbed into complacency. In the book, she reveals a portrait of a life in transition. Christy will be part of the volume reading series at Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, New York, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Christy Coulter to the Roundtable this morning. Christy, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm here.
Hi, Christy. We had a wrong button push, but we have you now.
So
I got to do what I love to do most on the radio, which was flail.
I thought it was pretty impressive, actually. I was listening, and I was like, oh, he's actually doing pretty well. Better than I would do.
Yes. Well, feel free to bring in a mop for the flop sweat.
I like that you even gave the URL of the spotty dog. I was like, oh, that's good.
You know what? I would have been giving the GPS coordinates in about 4 seconds.
Right.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a perfect ending to a perfect week. How did you stop drinking after days like today?
Oh, gosh. Eventually, the key is that you just have to say, well, you still can't drink.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. No big secret, right?
So, let me just re-announce here. You have this incredible collection coming out, and God, is this delightful. Nothing good can come from this. What brought you to the point of saying, all right, I'm gonna write about this, I'm going to write it in a series of essays, and kind of inspect what happened to me as you mm-hmm. stopped drinking?
There were a couple of things. One was that I started blogging maybe 6 months after I quit drinking, just because I wanted to have a place to kind of explore my experience. And also, there's a huge blogosphere of sober people, and I wanted to be part of that conversation and maybe help someone who was on their first day. So I started blogging, and then I'd gotten an MFA 20 years ago, and I started thinking, maybe I'll write again. And I turned some of those blog entries into longer essays. And at that point, I ended up with an agent. Someone reached out to me, and we started working together on this idea of a memoir. And the reason I didn't write a straight-ahead chronological memoir is I found the experience of getting sober, it was less of a day-to-day difference and more that, you know, now and then you'd have these big revelations. And in between, there'd just be a whole bunch of days of just not drinking. You know?
Yeah.
So it seemed more interesting to me to delve into those, almost like taking a prism and looking at different aspects of my life through this new lens. And that's how it ended up being an essay collection. And I wanted also to write a lot about sobriety and less about my drinking story. You know, I think sobriety itself is a really interesting state, and there aren't as many books or films or conversations about that. It's usually, you know, I drank, and then I got sober, the end. And so I wanted to kind of look at the other side of it.
You know, I love that you do that in the book, because you have, there's one essay in the book called Desire Lines, and it just starts off, mm-hmm. 33 days sober, I decide to try eating food outside my house at night again, something I haven't done without alcohol in a decade. Well, boom, there. Yeah. There's the mission statement for the essay.
Exactly. All these little things that you've never thought about, you know, going to a work party or going out to eat, suddenly it's like, oh, wait, how do I do this? It sounds so silly, but in the moment, it doesn't feel silly at all. You feel like your whole identity has been stripped away.
The one thing that, and as you say, you wanted to talk about the sobriety in the book, and obviously I want to talk about that as well. But mm-hmm. the idea of the feeling that you write about this too, though, the dread, the fatigue, the fact that this was a constant, I believe, low-grade hangover is the term used, of that's how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that I was tired for a decade. I just thought, oh, I'm not getting enough sleep. I mean, now and then I would have a real hangover and I would know it. But I thought I was just tired or needed to take more vacations or something was wrong with me. And really, I think most mornings I was a little bit hungover. And it wasn't enough for me to realize it. And I wasn't thinking clearly enough to go, huh, I wonder if the bottle of wine you had drank last night could have something to do with this. So I just kind of felt bleh for, you know, a decade of my life, which was like a quarter of my life at that point. Not great.
So when you decide that, what was the breakthrough for you to say, okay, it's time to get sober?
Yeah. I had known for a while that I actually wanted to quit. And part of it was that I was really worried. I was tired of worrying about my drinking. I'd been worrying about my drinking for many years because I was a smart person and I knew this wasn't good. And it finally hit me, and there was nothing special, nothing happened that day, but suddenly I realized, you know, the way to stop worrying about your drinking is probably to stop drinking. If you're not drinking, you won't have this worry. And I was just worn down enough that that made a lot of sense to me. And I thought, okay. And I signed up on a website for this pledge that I wouldn't drink for 100 days, which sounded utterly terrifying. I didn't think I'd make it. And it was true. As soon as I quit drinking, within like 5 days, I felt like I had changed something in my life. And it gave me the momentum to keep going long enough to realize I was feeling better and I was happier. And then a lot of good things came from that, title book aside.
Yes.
But there was no big, you know, there was no big sort of hit bottom moment. It was more just like I just got tired enough to say, okay, I'll try something new.
So one of the things that you address in the book, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you stop drinking, and then you look around to see that most of the women around you are drunk. They haven't stopped.
They haven't stopped, right.
And that is, you get to contrast that. This is what they need to keep going, and now this is what I no longer have, and yet I'm continuing to keep going.
Yeah, it was, you know, I live in Seattle, and I worked for many years in tech in Seattle, very high pressure, high profile environment. And what I started to notice is that, first of all, tech is pretty boozy in general.
Right.
Lots of drinking. There were bars at work and things like that. But I started to notice that the women around me were drinking, you know, a lot like I had drunk for many years. And a lot of it was explicitly in response to the extra kind of pressures they felt under to be perfect women, you know, to be not only executives, but perfect wives, perfect mothers, perfectly beautiful, fit. Women would kind of openly say, you know, I just can't do it without this. And once I quit, and I, you know, it's that thing where you step outside of culture and you're like, oh my God, I can see it now. I just thought, this is wrong. It's not wrong for women to drink, of course, as long as you're not an alcoholic. But I thought it's wrong that our lives have gotten to a point where we feel like we have to alter reality to put up with it. And that just struck home for me so clearly that first year. And I still don't think there's, you know, a solution to it. Although I've had a lot of women write to me and say, you know, I'm actually thinking about my drinking now. Like, I don't even drink that much, but when I do drink, I'm asking myself why, and I'm asking myself if maybe there's something else I need to change instead of having a drink in that moment. Maybe I need more time for myself. Maybe I need some privacy, you know, to ease off the pressure switch a little bit. But yeah, it's a fascinating outgrowth of the feminist movement, and I'm very much a feminist, that we are allowed to destroy ourselves in the same way that men are now. Doesn't make it a great idea.
you talk in the book, another opening line is, it was my 50th day without a drink, and I thought I deserved a congratulatory treat. I've heard that from other people who have withdrawn from whatever substance it be, whether it be food or alcohol or drugs, that as you go through, you say, all right, I'm doing something that is amazing. I have to do something good for myself. I need some sort of treat to congratulate myself for achieving this.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to do. And I think back to how, you know, when I was a kid, sometimes like my parents would say, you know, if you empty the dishwasher every day for 10 days, or if you get all A's, you know, you get this something toy you want. And there's no reason in my mind that we shouldn't treat ourselves the same way. A woman wrote to me yesterday saying, oh, when I hit 30 days, I'm going to get myself this pair of shoes I want. And I wrote back and said, great, but can you get yourself something smaller sooner than that? I gave myself lots of treats in that first 50 days, you know, a magazine or a cupcake. There's a lot of ice cream consumed in early sobriety. It's something people don't necessarily, and then you wonder why you're not losing weight.
Right.
It's like, well, maybe there's a reason. But I think you can't hate yourself into getting sober. You have to be, that's the time to be nicer to yourself than you ever have been before. And if it means silly little things like fashion magazines or treats or going to a movie in the middle of the day, then I'm like, do it. You're trying to set up the rest of your life. and you have to just kind of baby yourself.
And you also have to come to the realization that what you were doing is A, for the rest of your life, and B, that it is something that's good, that the sobriety also is a treat in and of itself.
That's what people don't understand when they start, and I certainly didn't understand it. I thought that being sober would be like an endurance contest, and I would get better and better at it. I wouldn't want to go back to the way I was living for anything in the world. It's so cliche, but everything I wanted was on the other side of that drinking. My life has changed immeasurably, and all I really had to do was stop drinking, and the rest of it, I mean, I've done a lot of work on myself, and I've worked hard, but all that kind of followed naturally. But nobody can see that when they stop. They think they're giving up the one thing that they need to keep going, and it's terrifying. When I say it like that, I don't know how I stopped. But sobriety is fantastic. I know I sound like a cult member saying that, but it's true.
I don't think so.
It's great.
Talk a little bit about this volume reading series. So you, two other writers, you get up, you read, you talk. I would assume this will be a lot of fun.
I think so. I was really, my friend Hallie Goodman, who is the co-founder of it, asked me to come out, and I thought it sounded like a blast. I think they've been running it for a couple of years, and she says they usually get, Hudson's a cool town, and lots of people turn out, and
oh, yes.
I think we each read for about 15 minutes, and then, sign books and all that. I believe there's also a DJ afterwards.
Yeah.
That book signing part can be kind of awkward and quiet, so she said they wanted more of a party atmosphere.
DJ it up, sure.
Yeah. There's a DJ. There's books. There's stuff to drink. It sounds great. I'm really excited about it. I'm really enjoying reading this work aloud to people. So that's great for me.
It's a bookstore with art supplies and yes, beer. But that doesn't.
So super cool. I love
that
it.
Part of it. All right, Chrissy will be part of the volume reading series at Spotty Dog Books and Ale tomorrow night, 7 p.m. along with Lynn Tillman and Caroline Krumpacker, and it's SpottyDog.com. Chrissy, sorry for getting you on a little late, but I'm very grateful that you were here, and thank you very much for being with us. Travel safe, and we'll look forward to having you in Hudson.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye.
Be well. Again, the name of the book, Nothing Good Can Come From This. It is out in paperback and published by FSG. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.